Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We're glad you're listening in today. Hope you're having a great summer so far, and we are bringing what we're calling our Summer Break Series. And so we have a lot of people coming and going and traveling and vacation and things like that. We've got personally going on this summer, music camp. We've got a lot of things that are going on. So we're taking a little break. This is a series of broadcasts that we taught on a little over 2 years ago, back in 2015. And so we're dealing with your liberty, your health, and the Bible. We always take just a moment and invite folks to come out at Mount Lebanon and join us in our worship services. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Sunday school. Then we have 11 a.m. our Sunday morning worship service. And then on Wednesday nights, our midweek prayer and Bible study. So lots of opportunities to come out and worship with us. And we'd love for you to take advantage of that. We're located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And so, thank you for listening. Hope you're having a great summer, and hope you enjoy the broadcast as you listen in.
We do want to say welcome to our listeners right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And also those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
It is a blessing to be on the different radio broadcasts or radio stations with the broadcast. Now, for those of you that listen in on a weekly basis, you know we've started a series, and we're calling it Your Liberty, Your Health, and the Bible. And the Bible has a great deal to say about health and things pertaining to that. It's very, very important. And we've said before that if you lose your health, you've basically lost your liberty. It may not be in the way we usually think about losing your liberty, but you definitely become captive to a sickness, or you can. You know, your whole life is rearranged, and instead of going about doing what you might think about normally doing, your life can become consumed with a sickness or an ailment of some kind. Going to doctors, going to appointments, being enslaved to taking medicine and paying for it. And I mean the financial burden of being sick. Of course, we realize that some sickness we cannot help. An accident can come. We cannot help that. Or a sickness can come that we couldn't do anything about. But there is much that we can do in along the lines of just being a good steward of the health that we do have, and then working on the health that we do have in order to stay healthy. And so last week we were talking about the different diets in the Bible, and we're going to get back to that today. We're going to give just a little review from last week, but I'll tell you where we're going to go today is in the Bible, to Jeremiah chapter number 52. You will find there the first and the last time the word diet is mentioned in the Bible. That was interesting to me when I first began to study this out. You know, you think about the different places the Bible says something about eating or food, but the word diet is actually in the Bible only two times. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 52, and verse number 34. It says, "And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, but I want to review quickly just some of the things we said last week about different diets in the Bible. We said there was the pre-flood diet. This is the diet of Adam and Eve and all of those individuals that we read about in Genesis chapter number 5. In fact, you'll find about 1,800 to 2,000 years of ancient history before Noah's flood. And so the population was quite numerous by that time period. If you thought about how many people could you have in a time span of almost 2,000 years. Well, the original diet that God gave Adam and Eve is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 9, and it was a vegetarian diet. What Adam and Eve ate and all of their children and their grandchildren was nuts, fruits, vegetables, herbs, salads. I mean, they were vegetarians. They did not eat meat. Now, if you study Genesis chapter number 5 and the people that are mentioned there, you'll find that the average lifespan was about 900 years. You say, that is hard to believe. But if you look at what scientists are studying and trying to obtain today, you will find that the general consensus is that man has the potential to live a long, long time. And I would say that man was created with the potential to live forever and would have if sin had not entered into the world. But anyway, man has the potential to live for a long time. The average lifespan with that diet was 900 years. Then there's the post-flood diet. In Genesis chapter number 9, after the worldwide flood, after sin had so entered in and corrupted the world, that God sent a worldwide flood. We find after that, Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, Noah and his family gets off the ark. There's nothing green. Their previous diet has been destroyed, so God allowed them to begin to eat meat, and the only exception was without blood. And so they could eat meat. It was added to man's diet. Now, it did not take long, if you just read in the book of Genesis, for the lifespan to go from being very, very long down to about an average of 120 years. And then by David, King David's day, the average lifespan had gone down from that to about 70 to 80 years. Do you know that is where it is today? Psalms chapter 90, verse number 10, David said, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. That is, a score is 20. 60, and 10, that's 70 years. The days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that would be 80 years old. David said, "Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." So I've said before, sort of jokingly, that eating meat is not bad for you. It only takes about 820 years off your life. Now, we realize I'm kidding in saying that, but if you go from the lifespan in Genesis to the days of David, that's exactly what happened. Now, there were other factors as well, but the lifespan has varied greatly in ancient history. So there was the pre-flood diet, the post-flood diet. There's the dietary law under Moses' law that we find specifically in Leviticus chapter number 11. Now, Moses gave the children of Israel dietary restrictions, and we find there that the major emphasis was between the clean and the unclean animal. This did not come along until Moses. So when you think about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they all ate different types of what under the dietary laws of the Jews would be considered unclean meats. But then it was changed under the law, Leviticus chapter number 11. So they had clean animals. They had unclean animals. Now, today, let me just say there is a movement, you might say, or an interest in what is called clean eating. There's a lot out there on the internet about clean eating. There's a clean eating magazine. There's actually several of them. There's the clean eating diet recipe books. There's a lot of information if you just were to look into clean eating. But that is not the same as the Jewish or the kosher diet. Clean eating, when you look at it in a modern light, is the modern clean eating has to do with consuming food in its most natural state or as close to it as possible. And the clean eating diet, maybe you might hear somebody talk about it on TV or read about it in a health store or something like that. That is staying away from refined foods, processed foods, just trying to eat the best quality of food that you can possibly get. That's what the clean eating movement today is about. And so it's interesting that people are recognizing that a lot of the food that we eat is not actually clean. It's not natural. It's not good for you. There's a big movement of wanting organic food, and that food would not be derived from what they call GMOs, genetically modified organisms. And so wanting to get away from that and all these different oils and additives that are added in that are actually coming to find out they're very bad for you. And so there's the clean eating diet of today. Well, we'll move on. We also talked about last week the diet under the dispensation of grace. And we find that in Acts chapter number 10. God told Peter, he said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he told him all manner of beasts. And Peter sort of argued with the Lord. He said, "Not since my youth, I've never eaten anything like that, that's common or unclean." And so the Lord told him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat. What I've cleansed, call thou not unclean." And so the dietary restrictions under the Old Testament are done away with in the New Testament. And the teaching of the New Testament is sort of summarized in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but we see that we're to do what we do to the glory of God. In the New Testament, it is also many places in the New Testament that we learn about the importance of the body. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That dedication begins with the dedication of the body. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Also over in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3, verse number 16, the Bible says this, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God..." Now, what is the temple of God? It's talking about your body. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we are not to defile. That means dirty up the temple of God. Now, we have a nice church building, and we thank the Lord for that. He's blessed us with that, and we try to keep it like that. We don't come to church. This is just by way of illustration. You don't go to church and bring your trash in. You don't come to church and open up a styrofoam container and eat your chicken wings and drink drinks, and you don't leave, you know, you take care of the outward temple of God. It would just be out of place to dirty up, defile, and trash God's house. Well, what about when we do that to our physical bodies? What about when we do it physically through what we put in our bodies, or mentally by what we put into our minds? And so there's a lot of ways to defile the temple of God, your body, spiritually, mentally, physically. But the diet during the dispensation of grace, I took longer on that than I intended to, but we want to go back to Jeremiah chapter 52 and point out some things about what we're going to call the Babylonian diet. Now, the king of Babylon, during those days, he lifted up the former king of Judah, King Jehoiakim, who had been in prison. Now, the king of Babylon, his name, verse number 31, is Evil-Merodach. Now, what do you think about somebody that's first name is Evil? But that's what his name was, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon. In the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison, and spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. The king there, he had several kings in captivity. These nations that they had overrun, they'd carry the people away captive, and they'd take their leaders and put them in prison. But the king of Babylon lifted up Jehoiakim. Verse 33 said, and changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon every day, a portion, until the day of his death, all the days of his life. Now, we said a few weeks ago, this little statement, God is trying to heal us and the devil is trying to kill us. And this Babylonian diet would fall under the devil is trying to kill us statement. If you know anything about Babylon in Scripture is the kingdom of the Antichrist. Babylon in Scripture is the first kingdom that ever rose up against God. The first leader over Babylon is a man named Nimrod. And you've probably heard about Nimrod before. Nimrod is the first tyrant in the Bible. Babylon is the ruling world system of the last days, according to the Bible. Babylon is characterized by corruption, deception, greed, power, vice, lust, sin, immorality, a lot like the world that we live in today. Revelation chapter 17 and chapter number 18 prophetically deals with the destruction of Babylon. Babylon is the fulfillment of all things, one world government, new world order, things along those lines. So there's a lot we could say about Babylon. It is the ruling world system in the last days. Jeremiah chapter number 52. Jehoiakim is brought out of prison. He's apparently given a place of favor among the king of Babylon, and he sits at his table and he eats of his bread. And so he eats the same diet that the king of Babylon eats. We're going to say some things about the Babylonian diet from this passage of Scripture. Now, the Babylonian diet, first of all, it was a government diet. It talks here in verse number 34 about the king of Babylon. This is a government diet. This is, second of all, this is a godless diet. It is the same diet that Daniel refused. We talked about this about 2 weeks ago. And in Daniel chapter number 1, Daniel was carried away into Babylon. When it came to eating the food that the Babylonians ate, the Bible said in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, it said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And instead, if you remember, he desired a diet of pulse and water for 10 days to prove if they didn't look better than the others did after 10 days. And we talked about water during that radio broadcast. But the Babylonian diet was a godless diet. It was filled with dainties and rich food and food from unclean beasts, and it was unclean, according to the Jewish people, it was an unclean diet. But this is what Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, was given. It was a guided diet. It was a continual portion. It was the same thing. Same thing. It said he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And verse 34, and for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion. This was a guided diet. The king said, here it is. This is what we're eating. This is how much. It was the same thing every day. I think that's interesting. It was a guided diet. And this diet in the Bible is associated with death. It said, gave him every day a portion until the day of his death. Now, all those things, a government diet, a godless diet, a guided diet, he was given. He didn't choose for himself. He just ate what was provided for him. This combination in the Bible will only mean something to you according to how literally you believe the Word of God. Now, when I study the Bible and I see God's people, that's represented by Jehoiakim, fed with the world's diet, the world's portion, while they are in captivity and until the day that they die, that speaks to me. To a lot of people, that would mean nothing to them, but I get a great deal of instruction out of that. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5 says, every word of God is pure. And so when I see that the word diet is only mentioned two times in the Bible, it makes me sit up and pay attention and think about, what about our diet? Now, the application to this, in America, we have a type of a Babylonian diet. Sometimes it's called the SAD diet. And that means this, the standard American diet. That's what SAD is short for. And a lot of what we eat is just sad. But you think about the standard American diet. Now, if we're going to be responsible for our own health, we're going to have to do like Winnie the Pooh. Do you remember that when you was growing up and Winnie the Pooh, he'd tap himself on the head and he'd say, think, think, think. And it was hard for him to think and hard for him to figure things out, but that's what we're going to have to do if we're going to be responsible. If we're going to be good stewards of our health, we're going to have to think for ourselves. What is best for us? What is good for us? Do you realize that when you go to the grocery store, everything that you and I buy and eat is government approved? You say, well, that's bound to be good that it's government approved. It's been inspected. It's been regulated. The FDA has put it through the testing procedures for whatever they've approved, whatever is being done to our food, whether it is being manipulated genetically, whether our fruits are being sprayed with no telling what, whatever process goes into, you ever read on the, like a pack of processed meat, you know, when it says byproducts, somebody said one time that was just what was left over, what was by when they got through with slaughtering the meat, you know, all these things are approved, but that does not mean it's good for you. There's a huge difference between being government approved and being good or being healthy. Yes, it's all FDA approved, but that doesn't mean it's good. If it's all good, why is it that the American people are diseased and degenerating and dying at such a rapid rate? Why are our children so afflicted with unhealthiness? If I could put it like that, why is it that most everybody is on a pill for this or that? If what we're eating is good for us, it may be approved, it may be government approved, but that does not mean that it is good. If you really trace out the American diet, what you find is my generation, 40 years and older, is really the first generation to grow up with the food pyramid. I remember learning when I was in elementary school about the food pyramid, the five basic food groups. I've heard that all my life. And how much from each? Where did that come from? That's a government-approved diet. And all my life growing up, I've heard this: eat margarine, not butter. Butter is bad for you. Eggs are bad for you. Don't eat these things. Eat a substitute. Eat margarine. You know, I can't believe it's not butter. We grew up buying those tubs of not butter, margarine, and substitutes of all kinds. Well, now you know what? They've come out and they've said, well, that stuff's actually bad for you. It'll clog up your arteries. Go back to eating butter. Well, that's what they were eating before. Can I believe that what the government says is good or bad, that they actually know what they're talking about? And we could give many other examples along those lines. Now, the Bible does not prescribe diets. I am not a fan of diets. Somebody said, I'm going to go on a diet. Most diets that people go on, they end in utter failure. And when they go off the diet, they go not only back to where they were before, but actually worse. Diets make you more unhealthy, sicker after you go off the diet. You cannot live on Weight Watchers all your life. You cannot live on no carbs or all this stuff, all this fad stuff that is going on. Yeah, it might help for a while. But what we actually need in America, in our homes, in our lives, we need to change our whole way of eating. It wouldn't even be good to call it a diet. Now, I've got several things, just some common sense things that we're going to go over next week concerning advice of a biblical model of a proper diet, what and how that we should be eating. And it's you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to find that this is government-approved anything. A lot of what is best for us is just common sense things. And so we've already seen and gave examples from the Bible. Just a little quick review before we go off the air. We have talked about several different things that we find in the first couple of chapters of Genesis that the Bible gives us everything. We've talked about clean air. We've talked about pure water, and we're talking about food, what the Bible says about food. Well, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Think about what that means. Not just the spiritual side of things, but the physical things. Everything that touches our life, we are to present unto him. Well, all of this also reminds us of a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Spirit of life that comes by the Spirit of God. He's the water of life, John chapter number 4. He's the bread of life, John chapter number 6. There's the physical application, and there's the spiritual application as well. We hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you could say with confidence, if I died today, I know I'd go to heaven because I know him. Well, our time is quickly come and gone. Do remember the Bible conference coming up at Mount Lebanon. And this is starting Sunday morning at 11 and then 2 p.m. and then next Monday through Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We'd love for you to come and hear Evangelist Benny Carper. And we're praying and asking that the Lord would meet with us. Well, thanks again for listening. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. Have a great day. And God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLE. BANONBC.org.